You are now listening to the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @halfright_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Most importantly, feel free to share with a friend and please subscribe. Now, without further ado, let's get into this week's episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Half Right Podcast. It is Monday, January 28th. It is 12:04 on the East Coast. We just got done watching the Royal Rumble. Seth Rollins was the winner of the Men's Rumble. Becky Lynch took the women's one. Lakia, what did you think of tonight's show?
It was pretty lackluster. Not even going to lie. I was expecting more. The thing about the Royal Rumble is that I'm always looking for that surprise factor. And there was nothing that really made me say, wow. Not to say that the competition wasn't up there, because at this current moment, the roster is stacked. But there were some points. Now, the matches, which we're going to break down every single match and give our rating match by match. But my overall rating, I would give it a 7.5.
I would have to kind of agree with you, but I'd give it an 8. I think the stuff with Nia Jax was really fun, because we don't see WWE these days going with the man against woman violence.
Which, you know what? Just because, spoiler, if you haven't watched it, Randy Orton RKO'd the shit out of Nia. So I'll give it an 8 just for that. He RKO'd her.
I mean, the whole story of her entering the Rumble made no sense in my opinion, but it's WWE, and 9 times out of 10, the shit doesn't make sense.
Very true. So let's get into match by match. I have all my notes here, Alfonso. I'm prepared. So we're going to start off with the pre-show. You ready?
Yep.
All right. The first step on the pre-show was Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, which I didn't even know this match was happening, versus half of the AOP, whoever it was, and Dawson from The Revival. And to be honest, we have no idea who won. Not that I really care, but the stipulation was if the dude from AOP and Dawson won, that the teams would be able to get a title shot in the future. That just goes to show that the Raw championship, the tag team championship, is a joke. The whole division is a joke. Alfonso, your thoughts?
I just feel like you have three talented teams. Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, I'm not really a fan of that whole dynamic, but I feel as though you could have done a triple threat. AOP versus The Revival versus Chad Gable and Bobby Roode. I feel like The Revival, they're so talented. AOP is talented. Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, they work well together. I don't think it's a very good tag team. I think Bobby Roode is so much better than that tag team because he's a phenomenal heel. We saw that with his work in Impact and his work in NXT.
Right. But
I just feel as though if you would have gave those guys a triple threat match, it would have been a great pre-show match. And I feel like it's time. The Revival should have been Raw tag team titles a while ago. I feel like the division, as you said, is a joke. And as you said, we don't really care about it. They need to do something to pull us in and make us care about tag team wrestling. Because as we've seen with, you know, teams like the New Day and the Usos and the Bar, it's easy to get people to care about tag team wrestling. The formula is simple: putting on good matches. So what do we have next?
We have Rusev and Nakamura next.
Where Shinsuke became a two-time.
Oh, hold on. I can't hear you.
What do you mean you can't hear me?
Something happened. Hold on. We had Rusev versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the United States Championship. Nakamura ended up winning. Rusev did come out with Lana. Lana ended up getting hit by Rusev, hurting her ankle, which basically took her out of the Royal Rumble. I knew she shouldn't have taken her. You said that she would, which she did, but she had no business out there. And because of that, she didn't even get to enter the Royal Rumble. So, what are your thoughts on that match?
Well, we were both wrong on our predictions. But, you know, true. Rusev versus Shinsuke, a solid match. You know, those two, they work well together. They always have solid matches. I don't know what putting the belt back on Shinsuke does. He doesn't really do too much for me with the belt. I feel like what Rusev had going with the belt was good. It was about time they put the belt on him. And the whole Lana stuff was like, to me, it was like a flashback to WrestleMania 31 when Rusev suffered his first loss on the main roster to John Cena with her falling off of the apron and hurting her ankle. So that was a flashback. But the match didn't really do too much for me. So, you know, it was a decent match. I don't understand putting the belt back on Shinsuke, but hey.
It is what it is. All right, then moving on to end off the pre-show was the Cruiserweight Fatal 4-Way with Buddy Murphy, Kalisto, Akira Tozawa, and Hideo Itami. Buddy Murphy ended up winning, and I believe he pinned Hideo, right?
Yes, yes, he did.
So, I mean, what is going on with Hideo?
As I said on our prediction podcast last night, Hideo Itami is by far one of the biggest busts in WWE history.
Definitely.
He came in with all this hype and injuries. It's unfortunate the injuries, you know, kind of derailed what he was supposed to be and what he could have been. But, you know, from the Cruiserweight match, just solid stuff. The Cruiserweights are some of the best wrestlers on the roster. I just wish that they had more storylines to get me to want to watch the Cruiserweights, if you feel what I'm saying. I'm not really intrigued. I mean, we know they're going to put on great matches, but after it's done, are you any more excited to watch 205 Live tonight than you were, say, last night?
No. I'm more excited to watch NXT.
Whew. Yes, yes. And as Shawn Michaels announced on the pre-show, next week during the Super Bowl, they're going to have Halftime Heat, a six-man tag match with Aleister Black, Velveteen Dream, Ricochet versus the team of Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and Adam Cole, which is going to be a great, great match. And I think it's great how they're bringing back Halftime Heat. When's the last time they've done Halftime Heat?
Oh, man. Was it when they did the one with Mick Foley? Was it Mick Foley and The Rock?
Yeah. How many years ago was that?
Oh. That was a long time ago. Long time ago.
Yeah, well, listen here. We're big football fans over here. I love the Maroon 5.
I love Maroon 5.
I know.
I'm a hard fan, but please believe I'm going to have Halftime Heat on. And I'm a huge Maroon 5 fan. I've been to two of their concerts, but Halftime Heat will be on. Especially depending on what the score is going to look like by halftime. I just may tune out altogether, but anyway.
Let's go Rams. Anyway, diehard Giants, diehard Giants fan over here.
Diehard Steelers.
So we don't like the Patriots. That's one thing we agree on. But all right, let's get started on the main card.
The main card. Show. I'm surprised that it started out with one thing. Let me say, they got the women out of the way really, really fast. So fast. I wish they would have spaced it out a little bit better. But with the result of what happened, I see how everything flowed. It all worked out in the end. So the match order starts off with Becky and Asuka. They opened up the show, and the match was absolutely incredible. It's what I would expect from Becky and Asuka when it comes to the talent and the speed and the agility that they both have.
Yeah, definitely. Those two, you don't expect a bad match from them. Asuka is amazing. I'm so happy that they built her back up, because
exactly.
I feel like for a moment they lost her. And now they've brought her back up, and she feels like Asuka. You know, I was kind of like, why is Becky tapping? I didn't really like that decision. But once Becky tapped, it went into my head. She's going to come back out. I didn't think she was going to win the Rumble, but I definitely knew that she would be in it. But, you know, just a great match, a great sequence of holds, the way that it ended. And Becky leaves the Rumble as the Rumble winner. She's still red hot. And Asuka leaves with the SmackDown Live women's title looking like a fucking badass that she is.
But to add on to what you were saying about how they built Asuka back up, because Asuka won the Royal Rumble and Nakamura won the Royal Rumble. And it was like, wow, here we have these elite Japanese wrestlers, right? And what are they going to do with them? They're going to go on WrestleMania. They're going to be huge. And then it was like, you know, Asuka ended up, you eventually had to, you know, break the undefeated streak to make that, you know, it levels her out with all the other girls. And it gives her a little more wiggle room in her style. Because when you're undefeated, look at what happened with The Undertaker. WrestleMania. It becomes that kind of situation.
Yep.
But when you look at Asuka and Nakamura, I'm glad, like you said, that they built her back up. And they did it really well in letting it grow and not like shoving it down your throat. You know,
yeah.
They showed you that here she was at NXT, but she's on the main card now. Let's knock her down. You know, let's make her humble a little bit, and then we'll give her a chance to move back up in the ranks. And her wrestling skill has never faltered. She hasn't been injured. She's been good. So I'm happy to see that she's the women's champion, and I hope that she has a semi long reign as SmackDown Women's Champion.
Yeah.
Because like I said in our first episode, that the women have not had long reigns. Look at Charlotte and even Sasha, why they're tit for tat with the title. Same thing with Alexa Bliss. It's not like they had these long title reigns. It's they would, you know, have it for a couple, the Charlotte and Sasha one. It was literally going back and forth, which is why Charlotte is a 7-time champion right now. But as for Shinsuke, I was hoping that they would do what they're doing with Asuka with Shinsuke. The United States Championship is not what I was thinking. I'm at least thinking WWE Championship. Especially when they did that heel turn, I was expecting more. But we'll see what happens with Nakamura.
I personally believe that, just as you said, they should have done what they did with Asuka with Shinsuke. But Asuka, she remained over. I didn't like her losses to Carmella, the James Ellsworth stuff that was happening back in June around.
But there's
Money
a lot
the
of Carmella stuff that just wasn't right.
I love Carmella, by the way. I think she's phenomenal. So let's get on to the next match.
Anything else on Becky and Asuka?
Becky's incredible. She's the man, and Asuka's a fucking beast. That's all I can say.
And we were right on Asuka retaining the title.
Yep.
All right, moving on to the second match. It was The Bar for this versus Shane and Miz for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Y'all, it's late. I'm gonna get it together. So yeah, The Bar versus Shane McMahon and The Miz for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Shane and Miz won. You said they were gonna win. I was going
yes,
with The Bar.
I was correct.
The Miz's father was in attendance.
A giveaway.
Yeah, that was a giveaway. But the match was good. The match was good.
Solid work. Shane is a fucking maniac with all
he's
that money.
And he's crazy as hell. He is crazy as hell. Oh, that man's crazy.
And he's still performing these moves. You know, it was a solid back and forth match. You know, you're never going to get no technical masterpiece when you watch The Miz and Shane versus, you know, The Bar. You know, but it was a good tag team match. As I said, the pop that Shane and The Miz got, that shooting star press to win the belt, was amazing. I don't know where you go from here with them being the SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions.
The pop wasn't as loud as I thought it would be, though. I think that people were they knew it was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't really surprising.
I believe that crowd tonight in Arizona was at Chase Field was horrible. They were dead all night.
The energy wasn't great. The energy at the next big pay-per-view, WrestleMania, April 7th at MetLife Stadium.
Because there is nothing. There is nothing like a New York, New Jersey crowd. And I'm so excited.
If you guys are just tuning into the Half Right podcast, we are going to be at WrestleMania.
First WrestleMania.
So excited. We're going to be at WrestleMania, and we'll be having a special guest on that show when we do it. So yeah,
yep.
A lot of fun stuff coming. This is the road to WrestleMania. This is why we started this podcast now, but please believe after WrestleMania, this doesn't stop. So we're going to keep going with the content, but super excited for WrestleMania. And who's to say that Shane and Miz will still be champions by then? I don't know what the hell they're gonna do with the storyline, to be completely honest. I don't see the point of it. I don't see where it's going. To be completely honest, I'm not that interested in it. Just saying. Are you interested in the match? In the tag team?
I mean, Shane and the Miz, I don't know where they go from here. I feel like you have talented tag teams like the Usos and Sanity that aren't really being used, and you don't need the belts on The Miz and Shane. I think that having them win tonight, it was fun. It was cool. It didn't really make sense, but, you know, I don't really know where you go from here. It's hard to predict. I'll kind of sit back in the next few weeks and kind of get into my head what I think Mania is going to be, and I'm sure they'll explain it because we're on the road to WrestleMania. But I don't know where you go from here with the Miz and Shane.
Yeah,
McMahon.
We're about to start seeing Hall of Fame inductions are being announced as well.
Yes, rumor has it the Undertaker may headline this class. I'm not sure how true or false that is. There's also rumors that there are currently no plans for the Undertaker at WrestleMania, which we know will change.
Yeah, because you know Triple H hasn't put his name in the hat yet either, which you know will change. But going back to the Becky and Asuka match, what would you give that out of a 10?
Out of a 10, those two women, I'll probably give them a 9, a solid 9.
I give it an 8.5.
Yeah, solid 9 for me.
And Shane and Miz versus The Bar, I give it a 7.
I'd give it a 7 as well.
And now moving on to my favorite match of the night, Sasha Banks versus Ronda Rousey. Phenomenal. This is the best work I've seen of Ronda. Sasha really played to the strengths of Ronda, and she also showed just how strong she is and how much of a contender for the big title she is. Now, I said yesterday that Sasha wasn't going to win for the simple fact that at the Elimination Chamber, there's going to be the Elimination Chamber for the WWE Women Tag Team Championship belts, which is going to be amazing. I'm glad that it's going to be there because that's going to make it interesting. But the match was great. I loved all of the technicality that Sasha brought. She really did some damage to Ronda's arm.
I think it was a phenomenal match. Those two women, I mean, I thought the match would be a little better. To me, it was my most favorite match on the show, the one that I paid, you know, the most attention to. Okay. I feel like the holds that Sasha and Ronda did were really unique. I love the way the match ended because most people thought, okay, Ronda's going to win. She's going to make Sasha tap. But that sequence of how she won with the move that they're calling the Piper's Pit, which is kind of looks like a Samoan drop, mm-hmm. was phenomenal. Having her get the pin that way, the handshake at the ramp where Sasha throws up the 4 for the 4 horsewomen was phenomenal. I feel like it was a great back and forth match, and this is the stage that Sasha Banks needs to be on all the time. In my opinion, she is the best female wrestler in WWE. There's no one better than her, and I believe she showed that tonight. And Ronda Rousey is fucking amazing. She's a boss. She's incredible. I feel like
you can't give her the boss title when the boss belongs to Sasha. I'm just saying, can't play both sides, bro.
Listen here, I've never played both sides. I'm appalled that you would even say that because everybody knows. There is no bigger fan of Sasha Banks than I am. And you're kind of putting me in a tough position here because everyone knows I love Ronda Rousey as well. And their match tonight was incredible. I think it could have been a little better. At times it was a little sloppy, but I feel like
Sasha Ronda is also not just that Ronda's sloppy. Sasha's also sloppy.
You're correct, but Sasha's the best female wrestler in the WWE as well. She tries things that other female wrestlers or wrestlers, period. She tries things that other female wrestlers or male wrestlers won't try. You get what I'm saying? She's right. An innovator. She's a trailblazer. The match was incredible. If I have to put that on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give it a 9. I was expecting a 10, but who am I to complain about a 9 from those two incredible
people? Because it was my favorite match of the whole night, it gets the extra point and it gets a 10 out of 10 for the simple fact that I was most intrigued by that match.
Yeah, and then
because I think, when it came to the men's big titles, we'll get to that in a second. But because it's my favorite match of the night, I give it a 10. 10 out of 10. All right, now we're getting into the big one. Right after Sasha and Ronda, we had the Women's Royal Rumble with announcers Corey Graves, Michael Cole, Beth Phoenix, and Renee Young. I'm glad they keep including Beth. Because as we continue on with the women's evolution, as they continue to evolve, and there's going to be another evolution pay-per-view, this is giving Beth great practice. She also was an announcer at the Mae Young Classic, so I'm glad to have her teaming back up with Renee, and we are getting more females into the announcing, which is what we need, especially. And I hope that similar in NXT, how they have the female referees, that will eventually come over to WWE main roster as well.
We did see a female referee on the main roster tonight once. Becky Lynch won
the
Rumble.
Yes, at the end. Yes, we did. Which was good.
I think it would be phenomenal if she was the ref for the women's matches at Mania. And I
would love to see that.
I also believe she should be the referee in the ring for the inaugural Women's Tag Team Championships that'll be decided next month at the Elimination Chamber.
The only reason why I would see that not happening is because the male referees, have more experience in that structure. That's the only reason I say that might not happen.
But I believe it's the first ever match. I believe this referee, I'm not sure her name. I believe she was previously a wrestler herself. I don't think she'd have any issue handling her own and, you know, listening to the producers and Vince backstage.
Right.
I believe that she'd do well in the Elimination Chamber. I don't really believe that it'd be an issue, but I understand where you're coming from. But there'll be male referees outside of the structure who have been there before.
Right.
And she'd be well-equipped, you know, being down there in Orlando at the Performance Center. I'm sure they'd have her at her very best. So I think that the inaugural women's tag team belts in the Elimination Chamber, she needs to be the referee in there.
All right, so as for the Royal Rumble entrance, I'm going to go 1 to 30. Are you ready?
Yep, let's go.
Lacey Evans, Natalya, Mandy Rose, Liv Morgan, Mickie James, Ember Moon, Billie Kay, Nikki Cross, Peyton Royce, Tamina, Xia Li, Sarah Logan, Charlotte, Kairi Sane, Maria Kanellis, Naomi, Candice LeRae, Alicia Fox, Casey Catanzaro, Zelina Vega, Ruby Riott, Dana Brooke, Io Shirai, I believe that's how you pronounce it,
Rhea Ripley.
I'm sorry, Rhea Ripley. My handwriting is horrible. That's the UK champ.
Former UK champ. She just lost that belt to Toni Storm.
Oh, okay. She's from the UK side. Sonya Deville, number 25. Alexa Bliss returned from not wrestling since September at number 26. Bayley, 27. Lana was number 28, but because of the injury that she suffered during the match between Rusev and Nakamura, Becky Lynch took her place. Nia Jax was number 29, and the number 30 entrant, which we already knew from the Mixed Mac Tag Team Challenge, as Alfonso mentioned, Carmella. So the first to be eliminated was Liv Morgan by Natalya. And the final four came down to Charlotte, Becky, Nia, and Bayley. And you said that the four horsewomen were going to be in the finals, which three out of the four, you get a point for that. It's pretty close. And it would have been four if Sasha had been in the match to begin with, but she was not. Now, the final two came down to Charlotte and Becky. Becky did suffer a leg injury, but she got in the ring and said, ready to go fight me. She had no problem saying fight me to Asuka, and she had no problem saying that to Charlotte. Charlotte, when she gets, I think the downfall of Charlotte is she's too emotional. And when she gets too emotional, she can't focus. You can see it all on her face that she was shaking, her face was red, and she just gets so, I love her passion, but her passion is also a hindrance to her performance because she's overly emotional.
Lakia.
What?
You do know wrestling is fake, right?
I do know that.
For all our pro wrestling fans, we love professional wrestling, but it's fake. So I don't understand why you're talking about Charlotte in a context of she was actually angry. Charlotte's a great actor. So
but I'm talking, you know, when you're a wrestling fan that you actually get into it. So I was into it with Charlotte. Of course, they're all freaking great actors. They read the script. They do their thing. But I'm saying if you look at Charlotte, when she starts getting like that, she loses. That's all I'm saying.
Good assessment.
Okay. And my question to you is, would Charlotte have won if Lana wasn't injured?
Obviously, but
because our pick for the Royal Rumble was Charlotte, but that's because Becky wasn't in the mix at the time.
I believed once Becky came out and once she, you know, fake hurt her knee that she was gonna lose. But I was surprised when Charlotte got eliminated. It was a good surprise. I think Becky, she's been red hot lately. She deserved to win the Royal Rumble. It sets up a triple threat at Mania, in my opinion, because I believe Charlotte is going to argue that Becky was never supposed to be in the match in the first place,
True.
which is how we're going to get to that triple threat match.
True.
You know, it was a good ending. You don't expect anything bad when Becky and Charlotte are in the ring together. It's just great chemistry. They're real life best friends, and it was a good ending to a good match. I'm going to say maybe it's because last year was the first time and there's nothing like the first time, but I was a bigger fan of last year's Rumble. This year's Rumble, you know.
Also, last year there were surprise entries, whereas this year they brought in more people from NXT, and I strongly believe that that's a Triple H call.
What was that? What was that? The chick from they say she was from American Ninja Warrior, I believe.
That's Casey Catanzaro. Yeah, Casey Catanzaro.
She was fucking amazing. I believe she's small, but
the way that she entered the ring was crazy for sure.
Yeah, they had two Kofi Kingston like spots here. I believe Mandy Rose was phenomenal. Mandy Rose is a fucking.
Sound like Corey Graves. Please stop.
Corey Graves.
Don't Corey Graves got a whole wife? This man was over here. Like
shit, I wouldn't
about
care if
to
I
lose his damn mind over Mandy Rose.
Shit, I wouldn't care if I had a whole wife. I'd lose my mind. I lose my mind over Mandy Rose every time I see her. She is sent straight from the heavens. She's a fucking dime piece. She is beautiful and she's decent in the ring too. So
yeah, she ain't
that's
phenomenal.
A plus.
That's for sure. So
you're a hater.
So Becky Lynch, the man, is headed to Royal Rumble. I'm sorry. The man
Lakia,
that won the Royal
WrestleMania.
Rumble.
WrestleMania. I'm sorry, guys. She's tired. It's past her bedtime. All right, continue.
Yeah, I'm so old, right? All right.
Yep.
Then we had the WWE Championship and Daniel Bryan versus the phenomenal AJ Styles. My question is, where the hell and why the hell was Eric Rowan ringside? Where the hell did he come from?
Eric Rowan had actually, you know, been recovering from, I believe it was a torn bicep since the summer. Mm-hmm. I love Eric Rowan being paired with Daniel Bryan. I think this legitimizes Daniel Bryan's heel turn 100%. Because Daniel Bryan, he's not the biggest guy in the world. But you put somebody like
so
Eric Rowan
like a
next
to him.
Yeah, Eric Rowan in that bodyguard role. Because
so
I'm not a
new,
big fan.
He's the new Kane.
Yeah,
Daniel Bryan's Kane.
I believe it's a totally different dynamic than Kane. I believe, remember,
I'm talking about size-wise, how Daniel, when he had somebody with him, it was Kane, who's
but
big as hell.
I believe it's totally different because Eric Rowan is going to be like Daniel Bryan's like lackey, his sidekick, like his number two. I believe that Kane and Daniel Bryan were a tag team on the same level. Eric Rowan's going to be his muscle. Daniel Bryan's the number one.
But I'm
one.
Talking about strictly size. Like, they weren't going to pair Daniel Bryan with someone that's the same size as him. They were going to have to get somewhat of a powerhouse. I'm just saying, it's ironic that I'm comparing him to Kane because what did he come out and do to AJ Styles? A choke slam. Enough said.
They're actually not calling it a choke slam. If you listen to the broadcast, they say that he palmed AJ by his face. So I don't know what we call that. I think we may call that a face slam. You need to pay more attention.
I thought that he choke slammed him.
It looked like a choke slam, but they didn't call it a choke slam, so it's not a choke slam.
But what is it called?
I don't know.
Whatever the hell it's called, it's the same kind of concept. It's the same concept, very Kane-like, very Brothers of Destruction. I'm over Daniel Bryan, but he retained the title.
We're not moving on. You know what? This is gonna be our problem doing this show together. Guys, bear with us. This is our second episode. This is only our second episode. I'm sick of you choosing when we move on. Before you move on, you need to ask me if I have any more thoughts on the match or on the situation.
Okay.
And then we can
any
move
more
on.
Thoughts on the match or the situation.
My question coming out of this, and I want you to answer this for me. Question number one, where does AJ Styles go from here? I don't think he's going to get another shot at the belt. He might because there was controversy surrounding the end of this match. But does Eric Rowan being with Daniel Bryan, does that mean it's the end of the Bludgeon Brothers? And what is Luke Harper going to do?
Luke Harper, if all else fails, can go back to Bray if Bray ever comes back again. But in regards to what's going to happen with AJ Styles, you know, there's been a lot of talk about contractual issues going on with him. So I think that's why they might be cooling off with the title, because he's in negotiations and whatnot. So once they figure that out, it's always going to be room for AJ to come back. But honestly, he doesn't need the belt right now. He had it for majority of 2018 to begin with. So let him cool out. Let him breathe a little bit. He wants to be able to be home with his family more and do less house shows and all that. Give him the contract he wants. Let him come back. And then we could talk about titles and all that stuff. I honestly don't think that he needs the WWE Championship right now.
From what I've heard in wrestling circles and listening to other wrestling podcasts, AJ Styles is going to sign a very lucrative contract, maybe the biggest one of his life, because with this new AEW that's being started up,
and WWE does not want their superstars going to AEW, by the way.
Dave Meltzer, I saw him tweet earlier in the week that WWE does view AEW as a threat. Maybe not a big threat, but they, at a time where AEW is being backed by all this money, they do not want to let superstars leave for AEW. So I guarantee you they're going to give AJ Styles whatever he wants, less dates, more money.
Okay, but this is my thing. This is my thing, since we're on the topic of AEW real quick. This is my thing. When you have superstars, of course, you know, you have the A card, the B card, and then there's the floaters, like a No Way Jose.
No Way Jose is not a floater. Curt Hawkins is not a floater. You call men like those jobbers.
What?
They're jobbers. Bottom of the food chain.
But I'm saying, like, I call them floaters because they float in and out. I know that they're jobbers. They just go out. Obviously, Curt Hawkins is a jobber because he hasn't won in how many? Exactly. It's been like 200-something matches. But when you have these lower-tiered wrestlers that do have talent, mind you.
They do. I believe Curt Hawkins and No Way Jose are very talented.
What happens is that they're going to go on to greener pastures that's going to give them the money that they're not getting.
Let me ask you a question, Lakia.
Let me finish, please. As well as
you've been talking the whole podcast, I guarantee you, we've been on this podcast for how long? How many minutes?
30.
You have talked over me for about 20 of those minutes. I've only got 10 minutes of speech time in. We need to learn how to better divide this speech time. Because you've been talking.
The only reason I'm talking more is because I have the notes in front of me. So, I mean, that's why. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I had a lot to say. These are things that have been on my mind.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question and I'll let you continue. Do you really think AEW gives a fuck about No Way Jose or Curt Hawkins?
I was using them as an example. That's all. I was using them as an example. So, when you have people that come from NXT and they were popping at NXT and then they go to the main roster and they get lost in the shuffle, although they're amazing, they get lost. And it's like, what are you going to do with people like that? Like, what about a Sami Zayn and a Kevin Owens?
Kevin Owens is phenomenal. He'll never get lost. Sami Zayn, on the other hand, I don't know. I love Sami. I think he's phenomenal.
Finn Balor. What has Finn Balor done since he lost the Universal Championship?
Finn Balor just fought for the Universal title tonight.
He just fought for the Universal title, but how long has it been since he's been in a title match?
He was in a title match against Roman back in, I believe, August after Roman won the Universal title.
What happened?
He lost.
I'm just saying, this is what's been happening with him. Finn Balor is absolutely amazing.
We're talking about Finn Balor. Let's get on to the next match. Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE Universal title.
What do you give Daniel versus AJ?
What do I give Daniel versus AJ? I'd give him an 8.
I plead the 5th. What do you give the Women's Royal Rumble?
I'd give the Women's Royal Rumble a solid 8. Everything in this, a lot of matches on this show were 8 in my opinion.
Minus the women's championship matches, everything else is like a 6 to an 8, to be honest.
Let's get on to the next match because I have some thoughts on that one.
Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor. Spoiler, Brock Lesnar won.
I love this match. This is probably my second favorite match on the show.
I liked it better than the WWE Championship match.
I definitely did. I think, you know, playing the Brock's midsection and, you know, his real life struggles that he's had with diverticulitis and how that ended his MMA career prematurely. I feel as though that match was great. We knew Finn wasn't going to win, but for a second there, we're like, is this really possible? Can Finn really, like, use this and knock him off? And you kind of get him in your head, maybe he can do it. I believe the match was incredible, the moves that Finn was able to execute on Brock. And as I said, when you put Brock in the ring with a smaller guy that he's motivated to work with, the match is good. What I didn't like is the post-match beatdown of Finn Balor. I don't think it made any sense. You just had Finn, win a hard-fought match. You had Finn lose a hard-fought match.
And the thing is that, yeah, it was a hard-fought match, and he won clean.
Yeah, I like, but listen.
I like that he won clean. A submission, fair and square.
I love, as you said, I love the submission because we didn't expect the submission. Just as we expected a submission in the Sasha and Ronda match, we didn't really expect the submission in this match. And the way that it was executed was phenomenal, in my opinion.
It was great. I enjoyed the match. I really did. It was more than what I expected. Let me put it like that. I know that Finn is an amazing athlete, and I would have loved to see the Demon King, but like you said, he doesn't want to rely on that all the time, so maybe we'll see the Demon King at Mania. That would be nice.
Hopefully.
Since we're going to be there. But, you know, Brock did really good, and Finn pushed Brock to his limits, and you could tell that Brock was really into this match. It wasn't like, you know, like a hogwash where he just straight suplexes and suplexes and suplexes. How many times did he suplex John Cena in that match?
I believe it was 16.
It wasn't, you know, obliteration for Finn Balor. It was a great match. It was great physicality on both ends. And Brock Lesnar, again, he won fair and square. He won clean. It was no interferences. Paul Heyman didn't get up on the thing. It was good. It was good. But like you said, the ending was a bit of overkill. But I'd give this match a 9.
I would definitely give this match a 9 as well.
And ending off the show, of course, we wanted the Women's Royal Rumble to be last, but being how that went, wasn't that big of a deal anyway.
Yeah.
The Men's Royal Rumble, this one was commentated by Michael Cole and Corey Graves, along with JBL and Jerry the King Lawler. Nice to see them back. So,
I don't give a fuck about Jerry Lawler or JBL.
I was just saying, that was like a surprise. It was a blast from the past, okay?
They need to stay their old asses in the past, both of them.
All right. Number 1 through 30. Don't nobody give a fuck about that, man.
I'm mad that you said that was a good surprise. No, the fuck it wasn't. Stop lying to our listeners.
All right, it wasn't a good surprise, but I knew that JBL, when they said that they were going to do it, I was like, oh, they're trying to mix it up. They could have just left it as is and had Renee Young bring her ass back over there and then just had Corey.
But come on, I have a question for you. Where was the love for our brother Byron Saxton tonight? Like, they couldn't have him commentate a Rumble? They couldn't, like, do they not like Byron?
But you
or
know what? Byron always gets played.
Always. And I'm sick of it.
Even on SmackDown, Corey Graves talks crazy about Byron. Like, I'm waiting for Byron to reach across and smack the shit out of him. Like, yep. That's what needs to happen.
Corey Graves.
Corey be coming out of pocket. And Byron, Corey Graves, I know that Byron is sitting there like, do I stay professional? Or do
you
I
know he got that? You know he got that. You know he got that hood in him, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I think deep down Byron got a little gangster, a little OG. But Corey keeps sunning him, and I'm just waiting for Byron to pop off on him one time.
Let's get into the match.
The match number 1 through 30 started off with Elias and Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett got eliminated first. Moving on, number 3, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kurt Angle, Big E, Johnny Gargano, Jinder Mahal, Samoa Joe, Curt Hawkins, Seth Rollins, Titus O'Neil, Kofi Kingston, Mustafa Ali, Dean Ambrose, No Way Jose, Drew McIntyre, Xavier Woods, Pete Dunne, Andrade Cien Almas, Apollo Crews.
Hold up, Lakia.
What?
They are just calling him Andrade now. He no longer has the C in Almas.
Okay, cool. Andrade. 20, Apollo Crews. Aleister Black came out, knee heavily taped up. Shelton Benjamin, Baron Corbin. Jeff Hardy, Rey Mysterio, Bobby Lashley. Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, Randy Orton. And last, R-Truth had the number 30 spot, but Nia Jax came out and was like, I ain't get the women's one, but I'm gonna come in here and get these. I'm gonna come in here with these dudes. So she came in as the number 30, and she was RKO. She got a 619, and then they threw her ass out. But you like the Nia effect?
I love the Nia effect. First of all, it was funny seeing her get beat up. Not, but I'm totally against men hitting women, but this is wrestling.
It's wrestling, and she decided to go on with the dude. Yo, when she came in, Randy was looking at her like, why are you
But I also, in all seriousness, this makes Nia Jax look like a legitimate badass. She went into the Men's Royal Rumble and held her own. She eliminated Mustafa Ali, and she wasn't like punk. They made her look like a legitimate superstar. Do I think it belonged in the Rumble? No, I do not. But if you're going to do it, that's the way to do it. In my opinion, she had the most dominant performance of a woman who's into the Men's Royal Rumble of all time. You've never seen that type of thing before.
Right. The final four of the Men's Royal Rumble came down to Seth Rollins, Andrade, Braun Strowman, and Dolph Ziggler. My pick was eliminated. My pick was McIntyre.
And my pick won. My pick won. Yes, as I said,
your
you
pick won. Seth Rollins, the Kingslayer. Seth freaking Rollins is going to WrestleMania. And this comes to the last segment of this show. We have the man, Becky Lynch, going to WrestleMania. The Kingslayer, Seth Rollins, is going to WrestleMania. Who do you think that Becky is going to choose?
Becky is obviously going to choose Ronda Rousey.
She has to. I'm ready for it.
I believe Seth Rollins, he's going to choose Brock, but I wouldn't mind seeing him choose Daniel Bryan because I believe that that match would be incredible and possibly steal the show at Mania. And now that you have the whole dynamic with Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan, I believe that match would be incredible. You could do Braun versus Brock because I believe that that's a match that they still want to do. I also believe that Drew at Mania, I believe during the broadcast, if you heard, they spoke of him injuring John Cena. So I'm thinking that that's the match that they'll do at Mania, Drew versus Cena. But as far as who they'll challenge, we know, I believe it's going to be Becky versus Ronda, and Charlotte is going to sweasel her way into that match somehow and make that a triple threat.
And that's the thing. I'm going to say that I don't want to see that. I don't want to see... Charlotte is going to be in some kind of title thing because it's WrestleMania and she's a flair.
Is also, between her and Sasha, they're 1 and 1A best wrestlers in the world. You got to give Charlotte her respect. She earned
what
she got.
That's not what I'm saying. But because we didn't get the Ronda and Becky match, we didn't get the one-on, I want to see the one-on between them. That's all.
But let me ask you a question. Do you believe what Becky and Ronda can do? They're both amazing. Do you believe what Becky and Ronda will do? Do you think it's going to top what Charlotte and Ronda did at Survivor Series?
Yes.
You think it can?
Yes.
I disagree, but hopefully
just
we don't.
Just because I like this new attitude out of Becky.
I love the new attitude.
I really love the new attitude.
I think Becky is phenomenal. She deserves what she's getting.
And because Becky has unfinished business, I think yes. And plus the match with Charlotte and Ronda didn't end. It wasn't a fair end. So I would love to see like a four horsewomen kind of thing. I know it's not gonna happen, but
let me just get one thing out of the way. Nobody gives a fuck about Rousey's other three horsewomen. I feel like bringing them into the mix would just bring Rousey down. She needs to stay far away from them until I feel like they get their names out there. You get what I'm saying? Shane is amazing. The other two, I don't even know their fucking names. Marina Shafer and Jessamyn Duke. Don't get me wrong, they look like they have massive potential, but as of now, I don't think anybody in the WWE universe gives a fuck about them. So, you know, but I just think that you put Charlotte in that match, and your opinion is the popular opinion that it should just be Becky versus Ronda, and that's the match that you prefer to see.
And see, the thing is, what I don't want to do with this show is, yes, we're wrestling fans, right? And we know what's going to happen, but I want us to just not, you know, give the typical prediction. It's not just the popular opinion. It's what I truly want to see as a fan. I really just want to see them. You have a point, though, of Charlotte weaseling her way in. But because it's unfinished business, I would love to just see a one-on between the two.
I believe you can't. I would prefer a triple threat. Becky deserves to be in this match. Charlotte definitely deserves to be in this match. I believe Becky, she's kind of crossed over into becoming a mainstream star. Charlotte Flair is the daughter of Ric Flair, one of the most famous
wrestlers
ever.
But you know what?
And then you have Ronda. Let me finish. You guys, she keeps cutting me off. You got, as I said, you have Charlotte Flair, the daughter of Ric Flair. Becky's became a star. She's crossing over in the mainstream. And Ronda Rousey, the biggest woman star they have. I don't think there's a way you get around making that match. It'll be must-see, and it could possibly main event WrestleMania, in my opinion. Now
being
you can go.
That it's, being that it's Mania, a triple threat is better for that stage. Because Survivor Series, being that, you know, it's one of the big pay-per-views, but it's not Mania, you know? So, being that it is the biggest stage of the year, the triple threat would be very, very entertaining. But down the line, I'd still like to see a one-on between Becky and Ronda.
I agree.
Personally speaking.
Yes, I agree.
So, Seth, who you said that Seth, you think... Now, see, I didn't give my pick on Seth. I would like to see him go against Brock just because Seth is a Raw guy. He's Monday Night Rollins, as he goes. He's changed his shirt so many damn times. So, okay. Anyway, after I bought his shirt, he changed his shirt. But anywho. Daniel Bryan versus Seth would be interesting, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with SmackDown. You know, like you said in the previous episode, the whole shift in having the McMahon clan run everything, it's like there was nothing wrong with SmackDown. So, I mean, I don't know. Seth, it doesn't really matter to me. He's going to kill the shit anyway, like he always does.
Yes, because he's Seth freaking Rollins.
Randy Orton versus Seth at that Mania is still one of my favorite matches. Yes. So Seth is going to kill it regardless of who he's going against. So
yes. So is that all for tonight's podcast? It's 12:52 Eastern Time. We're going to be back this week with another episode for all you Half Right podcast listeners. Hopefully we'll have our little sister on, Brianna, so, you know, we can get, you know, her reaction to some of her picks being wrong. And, you know, we're out of here.
That wraps it up for another episode of the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @HalfRight_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Feel free to share with a friend and subscribe. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.